On this Father's Day, we will consider these words of wisdom from Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commandments, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Here ends the reading. I was blessed to have a good and godly father in my life. I realize that not everyone can say that, but I'm grateful that that was the case for me and for my brothers and sisters. It is a proven fact that if a father takes his faith seriously, then so will his children. A large study in Switzerland conducted by their government revealed some astonishing facts regarding the generational transmission of faith and religious values. In short, the study revealed it is the religious practice of the father, of the family, above all, that determines the future attendance at or absence from church of the children. The research revealed that if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotion, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. On the other hand, if a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers, whether regularly or irregularly. One of the reasons suggested for this distinction is that children tend to take their cues about everyday life, domestic life, from their mom, while their conceptions of the world outside come from dad. If dad takes faith in God seriously, then the message to their children is that God should be taken seriously. Out of all the things I learned from my dad, passing down his faith to me is the most cherished gift of all. The Christian father's primary mission in life is to see that his family makes it to heaven through Jesus Christ. Not graduate from a reputable university with a six-figure salary that doesn't even come close in value to our salvation. Yes, teaching children other life's lessons is important. Kids need to know how to ride a bicycle and throw a curveball and do math. But no other thing compares to a saving faith that is passed down to a child. Many lessons that I learned from my father were not intentional. Rather, they were lessons I learned simply based upon his character and love for his family. Please allow me to share three of those lessons with you now. My father died a year and a half ago, so this is how I will honor him today. All three of these lessons centered around water events. So let's just get theological and call them baptismal journey lessons from Dad, if you will. The first one took place in Atlantic City when I was 4 years old. We were visiting friends that my mom and dad came to know through my father's time serving in the Air Force during the Korean War. War buddies formed bonds of friendship. My dad was no exception. We traveled near and far to keep in touch with these families. And the family that summer we visited owned and operated a hotel in Atlantic City on the boardwalk. It had a swimming pool. I'd never been swimming before in a large in-ground pool. It was a luxury for us. In fact, I could not even swim at all at the time. Well, out of precaution, their friends gave my mom a flotation device for me to use. It was nothing more than a giant egg-shaped piece of styrofoam with a strap and latch attached to it. Well, having no previous experience with such a device, my mother attached it to me by strapping it on like a belt around my waist with the styrofoam in back. I looked like I was laying a giant egg as I walked towards the shallow end of the pool, but I was guaranteed that it would keep me afloat. Well, what she should have done was strap the device under my armpits and over my chest, and so that the styrofoam was in back between my shoulder blades, not behind my buttocks. Okay, this was the big moment. I couldn't go until my father had the 8mm camera queued up to capture this monumental event of my first swim in an in-ground pool. We did the countdown just like we do here. 3, 2, 1. Okay, action, camera rolling. Billy, head into the pool. Well, now the very first thing I noticed as I stepped off the bottom step into the water was that the giant egg on my rump began to lift that portion of my body to the surface and therefore force my upper torso, including my face, to go forward and down into the water. I was in trouble from the get-go. I didn't have a chance. I then began flailing my arms and kicking my legs to try and keep my head above water. But the egg on my behind was too buoyant for me to overcome, which in turn began pushing me towards the deep end of the pool as I was desperately trying to stay alive. In the meantime, the camera's rolling. Oh, look, he's swimming already. He's a natural, isn't he? Little did they know or realize I was just about ready to go down for the count. I was sucking pool water into my lungs. I went down once in the name of the Father, twice in the name of the Son, and I was getting ready to go down permanently in the name of the Holy Ghost. And suddenly the camera was filming sideways, focused on nothing but bushes from the seat of a deck chair. And it was, that's what we saw when we got the movies back from Lane's drugstore. See, my father could see the trouble I was having, so he dropped the camera onto the chair and jumped into the water to save me. It was a close call. Well, the lesson I learned from that traumatic experience is that good fathers always do their best to save their children. From that incident, I came to believe how much more this is true of our Heavenly Father. He saves us. Fathers rescue and save their children. They keep their eyes on them. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, we are reminded that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. You can know this for certain. Your Heavenly Father has His eyes always fixed on you. You are never out from under the protection of His hand. He will always be there to save you because you are His child. The Bible says that He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Now, that does not mean that bad things will ever happen to you, but it does mean that Almighty God, who is bigger than any problem that might come your way, including death, will keep His saving hand upon you. As Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 30 about the children of God, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Case settled concerning your life. Time and time again in my life, I witnessed my Father live up to His name regarding His children. His name was William, which means protector, and that is who He was. Our Heavenly Father has given us a name even greater, the name of Jesus, which means God saves. He shall always live up to his name. The next baptismal journey lesson I learned from my earthly father took place 6 years later on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay. My father was transferred from his job in Northwest Ohio to Norfolk, Virginia in 1967, and our family lived in an apartment on the beach. It wasn't a fancy setup, but it did provide a nice outlet to keep four children occupied during the day for my mom's sake. On the weekends, my father would join us as we swam together, having a good time. Well, at one point during the summer, he purchased a beach ball for us to play with. We loved it. We made up all kinds of games with that ball. But one sunny and breezy day when we were busy building sandcastles, the wind blew our beloved toy into the water while no one was watching. At the time, the tide was going out. And in the Chesapeake Bay, the tide comes in and goes out with intensity. And by the time we saw our beach ball, it was being sucked out to sea and was almost past the pier. My little brother began to cry, so all Dad went diving into the surf, trying to swim down and our runaway beach ball, being pulled by the tide and pushed by the wind. The whole family stood on the shore watching as he tried to retrieve it. He kept swimming and swimming and swimming. Didn't realize how far out he was getting. He was gaining on the ball, but not fast enough. And I distinctly remember at the time, as I was watching the rescue mission unfold, my feelings began to shift from wanting the beach ball back to wanting my father back as he was growing smaller and smaller. He hadn't realized how far the tide had taken him from the shore. I mean, they don't call it Tidewater Virginia for nothing. And even Mom was saying out loud, "Just turn around and let it go." At that time, my desire and love for my dad became so much greater than my affection for the beach ball that gave us so much fun. I felt such relief when he finally turned around, giving up on his quest. It took him a good half hour to just make it back to shore, swimming against the current. Well, what was the spiritual lesson I gained that day? My father indirectly taught me that loving my Heavenly Father takes priority over all the things of this world. Let them go and turn your back on them when it's called for. Love God first and foremost. For without Him in our life, we are nothing but walking dead men, living without hope. The Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." In the end, Dad said, trying to cheer us up, that probably some little kid in France would find the beach ball as it came ashore. It seemed to work at the time. The final baptismal lesson I learned from my dad came 6 years later. The Pemberville Community Pool had just opened. It was the favorite place for kids of all ages to visit on hot summer days. It was where the cool kids hung out. With a handful of kids in the house, it made economic sense for Dad to splurge and buy the family pass that summer for $25. Each afternoon in the summer, after the Andy Griffith Show, three moms took turns carpooling us to the pool to swim from 1 until 5 p.m. At that point, my dad would be driving home from work, passing through Pemberville, and he would swing by the pool to pick up all the Heber kids and other kids in our neighborhood who went swimming that day. Our 9-seat 1962 Chevy station wagon had the smell of chlorine in it during the summer months. Well, in late July, there was a terrible heat wave that hit the Midwest. Temperature soared into the triple digits. Well, it was so hot one day that my dad decided to take off from work an hour early so that he could not only pick us up, but could also take advantage of the family pass he had purchased and enjoy the cold, refreshing water of the overly crowded Pemberville pool. Now, my dad was not a fashionista. He was quite comfortable in his own skin and was not swayed by what others thought of him, including his own kids. On that day, as I was hanging out with all the other in crowd, girls included in that group, of course, sitting on the sun deck during the mandatory hourly rest break, suddenly my dad walked out of the boys' locker room into the pool area in all of his summer glory. Oh my, what do I do now, I thought. He was wearing dark swim trunks from the 50s. Keep in mind, this was the age of bright colored paisleys, and everything a kid wore was to look psychedelic, far out, and groovy in order to be considered fashionable. Kids worked hard at all aspects of their physical appearance from head to toe in those days to conform to the culture. But not my dad. No, he had solid dark swim trunks, dark dress socks, and gray hush puppies on his feet, and a button-down short-sleeve shirt that he wore to work that day. And of course, he had on the oversized old man sunglasses. His body was lily white, with only the lower left arm sporting a tan from having it hang out the window when he drove our car that didn't have air conditioning to work every day. Now, dads aren't supposed to do that to their children. Just show up unannounced with dark socks and hush puppies on at the pool. I tried my best to ignore what was happening, hoping that he would not see me and come my way. But then one of my friends spoke up, "Bill, isn't that your dad?" Oh, yeah, that's him. I felt like I was living out the movie Uncle Buck, if you've ever seen it. But my dad was also our baseball coach, and several of the players on the team seemed excited to see him. Kids loved my dad. He was a father figure to many kids that had no father to spend time with them playing baseball. "Come on, let's go try to dunk him when the lifeguard isn't looking," they said. They went off and began having a great time swimming and clowning around with him. And I just sat there feeling embarrassed and full of guilt all at the same time. Turns out I was the real jerk in the end. I was the uncool person sitting there baking in the hot sun. At that point, I learned several lessons. First, never ever be ashamed of your parents who love you more than anyone else on the planet. And likewise, never ever be ashamed of your Heavenly Father who loves you with an even greater love. Sure, sometimes parents invade your space and make you feel uncomfortable. So does God our Father. But that's not their fault that you're uncomfortable. That's your fault. Honor your father and mother. For the following decades, all the Heber kids joked about the incident and eventually turned it into a fond memory of childhood. But still, I say to all dads today, don't wear your hush puppies and black socks to the pool. We'll never be in style. Save your kids the trauma. But also remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Roman church in chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." And in Luke 12, 8 and 9, where Jesus says to us, "I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God." under no circumstances, even it makes you feel uncomfortable, do you ever have any reason or right to be ashamed of your faith or your Father in heaven, who gave his only son so that you could be his adopted child? Never forget who you are. Remember those first two words of the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven. You are his child. He always has his eyes upon you and a heart for you, even as we give him our hearts in return. To the fathers here, I say Happy Father's Day. Amen.